As a rule of thumb, when you find yourself looking for sermon fillers, first check to see if you have a clear understanding of your subject, desired response, and how-tos. That's the key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. We welcome you. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, if I use the term sermon fillers, do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I have in mind. Let me respond, and then you tell me whether we're talking about the same thing. I heard a sermon, I'm thinking of a given person, probably heard him 3 weeks ago. He must have had, I'm trying to be fair, I would say he probably had between 8 and 12 related verses he quoted. They were related verses to his topic, but they really weren't necessary. And in my mind, they were, what was the term you used? You said
sermon filler.
Yeah, they were sermon fillers. Did they help? No, in some ways they almost detracted from what he was saying, but he had them in there. And they were, maybe when you say sermon filler, I'm thinking about a time consumer. They gave an impression of something, but they didn't really help take his sermon toward where I felt he was wanting to go if I tried to say, okay, I'm entering into what he's saying. Sometimes I hear illustrations. Sometimes there'll be a very long illustration. I can think of that just recently in another sermon that I heard. It was an illustration that probably took, I would say it took 8 minutes to tell.
Wow.
It was a very good story, and it had almost nothing to do with what he said he was going to talk about. And I talked to someone afterward who is another teacher of homiletics, and I said, did the last illustration he used, did it go to his point? And he said, no, it had nothing to do with what he was talking about. It was a filler. It tended to give him a closing illustration, but, you know, what do you do? I think sometimes quotes are used that way. I've heard people quote entire songs, and I'm thinking, you ran out of material, didn't you? So you used all 5 verses to quote them for us because there was one little line that may have fit, but it really wasn't that good. I think sometimes guys who love visuals, they will use illustrations, visual, put them up there, and they look good because they're very powerful and they seem to take things. And then if you analyze it, you say, where was he going with that? And it really had nothing to do with what the main thrust of what he was saying. Humor, jokes are another way. So that's when you say sermon fillers, that's what I'm thinking about. And a lot of times the sermon fillers are what people remember, but it's not what you want them to remember. You want them to remember what you were trying to say according to the scriptures and so on. They don't give the message a clear direction. You know, I started here and whoom, it's going right to where I want it to go. And I have the feeling that the minister didn't really know where he wanted this to go, so he threw in, I'm using your term, he threw in a couple sermon fillers, and it helped to eat up the time. So, yes, okay. I think I know what I'm talking about, what you're talking about, so now I have to ask you, is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely, you're right on target. I have a feeling that you could spot a sermon filler pretty quickly.
I'm very good at it, yeah. It's a repulsive aspect of myself because I wish I couldn't do that. I like the people who are naive and think, that was really a good story, you know, I'm deeply moved by that. But I'm not thinking that as much as, did that take you where you were trying to go in that sermon? And a lot of times I can't answer the question because I don't think I know where the guy was trying to go.
I was just going to say part of the problem of all of this is I've heard far too many sermons that were an unrelated chain of sermon fillers.
I've never ever thought about that. But that's really a great term, Dean, because that's exactly what they are. An unrelated chain of sermon fillers, yes.
Now the question, of course, since we're trying to effectively assist in the spiritual formation of the listeners, do you think they spot the sermon fillers as quickly as you and I do?
I think most people don't. Most people are not very critical in terms of how they listen to, and I don't mean critical in a negative way. I mean critical in terms of almost like a good mentor would say, you did that very well. This wasn't helpful to you, and so on. I think that a lot of times most people listen and they bring their own problems and kind of are waiting for something to touch where their problems are. However, I do know a lot of people, and I say a lot because this is my world and I've talked to these people, a lot of people have dropped out of church, and if you ask them why, their number one reason is the sermon has no, it makes no sense to me. It's like somebody got up ill-prepared And when it was all done, they just, and then they'll use a negative term, like they just yacked or they blah, blah, blah. And when it was all over, I thought, what was that all about? So there are critical listeners. It doesn't have to do with class or whatever. It just has to do with whoever that person happened to be. We're looking for something they didn't find. They didn't find the seriousness. They didn't find, thinking of a person the other day who was talking about a message. The message was, why is God's timing, if ministers say God's timing is always perfect, how come it doesn't seem perfect to me? And that was the sermon, to explain why God's timing was what it was. And the person said, well, it's all done. It didn't help me. It didn't give me any more information. In fact, it made me realize that the speaker was far less analytical than I am, and basically said he was going to solve the problem for me and didn't solve it at all, just made it even more complicated to the degree where I didn't want to hear it anymore. I didn't even want to go back and listen to that kind of thing again. So there are critical listeners. I think with millennials coming along, sooner or later, millennials would either continue to drop out the way they have been in huge numbers, or otherwise they'll start asking the hard questions. You know, that sounded very good, and it was a story, but it didn't really relate to what you were talking about, or it didn't resolve the issue that you brought up. And I just want you to know that as a listener who's critical in my thinking, that didn't do it for me.
I read an interesting passage from Tim Keller's book, Center Church, just this past weekend, where he's talking about contextualizing the gospel. He talked about how the whole words contextualizing the gospel have such a negative connotation for many evangelical Christians. And the reality of what he was saying is people come to church today because they're seeking answers to the questions they have. One of the ways that those answers are given is in the sermon.
Probably more than any other time, yeah.
And we teach in our Sermon Coach method of sermon development to have a clearly thought through subject, to understand before you even begin to write the sermon what response you expect from the listeners, and then how-tos. Your sermon must give the listener how they're going to accomplish that response. And then we also talk about the necessity of putting a time frame around them seeing results from their efforts. And then, of course, we also talk about putting the subject and response into a key sentence. Those are drivers. Those elements are drivers that drive the whole sermon preparation process. That leads me then to this question for you. What advice would you give a minister who's listening to us who might ask, what's the difference between looking for sermon fillers and gathering material for a passage the way a preacher normally would?
I think the way a preacher normally does puts them into the sermon filler mindset. They're gathering all kinds of ideas. What you said was extremely helpful, and it's exactly what needs to be done each time. What is the subject I'm talking about? So I'm going to talk to you today about this. You know, if I go back to what I said before, why is God's timing not the same as my timing? I will answer that question for you. The response I am wanting is as follows. So once you know your subject and response, you know exactly whether or not something's going to fit. And you may come to the place where you say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. At which point in time you say, I'm not ready to preach that sermon yet. So, but again, how do I know what the subject is? And if your illustration is a great illustration, but it's off subject, you got to get a different illustration. So I don't know if you can even pull it back. I can't, but it's a series of unrelated sermon fillers held together by the personality of the speaker, I guess. That's what I get a lot of times. And I think, you know, was the story good? Yeah, was that? But what in the world were you talking about? You know, I'm still confused. I don't know why you said all those things. And that's where an awful lot of sermonizing is. It is not effective in terms of the day.
It's very interesting because certain people that have high popularity and for a large variety of reasons come under criticism are not doing the very thing we're talking about, where they're not chaining together these unrelated sermon filler illustrations, even though they're sermons are absolutely packed with illustrations. And we've talked about Joel Osteen before. We recognize that there are going to be many people listening to our podcast that have extremely negative feelings about Joel Osteen. Setting all of that aside, if you listen to any of his sermons, he is following our sermon coach method. Not suggesting that he knows that, but he has a clear subject, he has a clear response that he wants his congregation to have, and he gives them in his sermon, how-tos.
A practical handles.
And yes, he goes from illustration to illustration, and some would criticize that all he's doing is proof texting, but his subject is wrapped around the scripture texts that he uses in the sermon. But instead of reading a passage of scripture at the beginning of the sermon, he drops vignettes of scripture into the total package. And I understand where the criticisms come from, but I also see why his sermons are so effective, because they answer the questions the people come to the worship service to receive answers for. He answers the questions they bring with them.
I think that's a good illustration, because I think that a lot of people know Joel Osteen because they've heard him through his massive television ministry. I can bring up the name of the person I was referring to, and nobody knows who I'm talking about. We're not talking about theology, we're not talking about anything, but communication techniques, and he is right on target as far as we're concerned. You know exactly what he's talking about, what the response is he's calling for. He's giving you practical how-tos for the most part. I don't know how he relates the time factor, but we'll leave that alone for right at the moment. Yeah, I would agree with you. If somebody asked me, is he preaching what Jesus would preach were Jesus to come back in person today? That's another whole question. But if you talk about just communication technique, he is right on the button.
Yeah, and we're not suggesting that everybody preach like Joel Osteen or be a Joel Osteen, but we're saying that he's an illustration. If you want to see a practical illustration of someone who is using that communication technique, he definitely is following that pattern, and it has proven very effective. The personality of every pastor is going to be interwoven into the way that they apply the sermon coach method. But I do think that pastors need to understand they need to be who they are, who each pastor is. But there is a way of framing the sermon and communicating the sermon in a more effective way.
Right.
It doesn't need to be a chain of unrelated sermon fillers. It can actually be a solid, well-thought-through, well-planned, objective-oriented sermon that communicates the kind of truth people need to hear to have proper spiritual formation.
And I'm saying amen.
As a rule of thumb, when you find yourself looking for sermon fillers, first check to see you have a clear understanding of your subject, desired response, and how-tos. We thank you for joining us for this time together. You've found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where we have many helps for pastors to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.